Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board once again with us as we face the issues. May I remind you that this broadcast is designed around you, our listener. We always appreciate your call, your input, your, as someone once said, putting in your 2 cents worth. That's wonderful. Delighted to have you to do so each day. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. A lot of people that will make a decision based on an issue, on some ideological philosophy or some denominational dogma, based on rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, and what others may say. Let me recommend that you make decisions based on the Word of God. What does the Scripture say? How should we respond to the world's treatment of Christians? We're going to talk about that today. Should Christians hide in the closet? We're talking about Christians and the persecution of Christians. I found much too often when a Christian is persecuted, demeaned, or belittled, somehow, some way, there's the feeling that the Christian mindset, the Christian response, ought to be just to be silent in humility and hide in the closet and say nothing and do nothing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time we change the battle plan. I think it's time we change the approach that is taken so often among Christians today. And that is, we need to stand. And the Scripture says, having done all, to stand. That is, we put on the armor and we stand. We don't run. We don't retreat. We don't turn back. We just simply stand. We're going to talk about that today in just a moment. Let me remind you, you can join us in this dialogue and discussion today by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can consider your dialogue and discussion, entertain your input, and have discussion with you on the issue of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the Scripture says, Jesus speaking, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That said in John 8, 31 and 32, then Jesus makes a declaratory statement about the word truth. What is truth? Jesus said, thy word is truth. In John 17:17. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me commend truth to you. That is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917. I'm prompted to do that because so often I get caught up and involved in the discussion that I fail to remind you that you can call in. We invite you to call, ask your questions, give your insight, and especially today, as we talk about Christian persecution, and the question, should Christians hide in the closet? Should Christians be silent? Love to hear from you. Have you faced Christian persecution? How did you respond? What do you think ought to be done? How should Christians respond? Should we be silent? Should we shut up? Or should we be vocal, visible, and stand up and speak up based on what the Word of God says, our requirement to be salt and light? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for those individuals looking to start your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. It has a full line of Honda generators. They have an entire staff of knowledgeable individuals that can answer all your questions about generator backup and about hurricane preparedness equipment. May I remind us, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right where the Old Glory flies. United States flag flying there. I believe it's about 165 feet high. It's about a 40 by 80 flag. Can be seen for miles and miles and miles around. When you find that flag, the base of the flag, you'll find Tools for Time. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine, Old St. Augustine Road. Or look them up, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the broadcast today and facing the issues, they've asked me to make an important announcement. The Frederick Douglass Conservative Coalition presents Carl Smith. It is tonight at the Salem Center between 6 and 8 o'clock. It's at 6 to 8 o'clock. There's a special social gathering and a dinner. The cost is $12. You can dial 904-504-8840, 904-504-8840 to make your reservation. Frederick Douglass Conservative Coalition event. Frederick Douglass Conservative Coalition will be hosted by K. Carl Smith, the nation's number one diversity engagement expert, this article says, be tonight, the 29th, at the Salem Center at 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock. And that telephone number again for you to dial to make your arrangements to be there, 504-8840, 504-8840, the Frederick Douglass Conservative Coalition event. Ladies and gentlemen, if we talk about Christian persecution, Christian hate, that's what I'm calling it, because we're finding that, ladies and gentlemen, it's not unusual to find it around the globe. In fact, the latest news is that Christian persecution in China is far worse than originally thought. It is something that is horrific. It is something that you would never believe possible. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says things are worse than we imagined in China. First, the crackdown against Christian believers in the country is getting increasingly severe. Just a few years ago, there were real signs of change. Persecution was lessening and liberties were increasing, but not today. This article says even the national three self churches, in which there were some real gospel preaching pastors, are now virtually bereft of such leaders. And it's true that the Communist Party is rewriting the Bible to make it suitable for their purposes. This, then, would be the Bible used in these government-run churches. Talk about an utterly blasphemous act. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pause for a moment. Digress from this particular article, the title, Things Are Worse Than We Imagined in China, and where I just stated that they're rewriting the Chinese Christian Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, that's at the behest of the movement of, the pushing of, the Pope. The Pope under his cardinals are assisting the Chinese Communist government to rewrite the Bible. And inculcating in the newly rewritten Bible, the push for Chinese Christians to adhere to communism and bow to the communist government. That is being done to be able to coalesce and bring together the leadership in China of the cardinals and others directed by the Pope. Now, I'm saddened to say that, but it's a fact. If you don't believe that, unless they've taken it down, Google the question about the Chinese government and the interaction with the Pope and the rewriting of the Bible. This article further says, the title, ladies and gentlemen, Things Are Worse Than We Imagined in China. This article further states, arrest, brutal interrogations, imprisonment, disruption of meetings, beatings, destroying of the unauthorized Bibles, you hear that? Unauthorized Bibles meaning simply the true Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, inerrant Word of God. Unauthorized Bibles and Christian books are increasingly common. In one instance that was shared with me, this writer speaking, those owning non-approved Bibles and other resources were hit with stiff fines and the books earmarked for destruction, but not before they, that is the materials, were first dumped into piles in the street before they were carted off, followed by the pastor who was then sent to prison as a result of having the unauthorized Bibles, as they're called. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about a 5-page article. It's frightening and sad, and it breaks my heart to read it and to understand what's happening on a global basis with Christian persecution. Christian persecution is something that is taking place on a global basis, and it is horrific to think about what is happening. Ladies and gentlemen, it is as though, and I believe this is what's happening, it's as though Satan realizes the time is near. the day is close when Jesus Christ, through the rapture of the church, will snatch every believer out of this old world. He'll snatch his Christians out of this sin-soaked, darkened, decaying society. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian persecution is taking place in China, in North Korea, in Russia, Iran, and in all of the Islamically dominated nations. It is something that is permeating all of society today. It is permeation on a global basis. We must remember that the Bible cautions us that as believers, we shall suffer persecution. Don't let anybody tell you that Christians are not demeaned, that Christians are not dogmatically pushed aside, that Christians are not somehow, some way undermined in society in which we're living in today. It's a global thing, and it's a national thing in America. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall," that's a positive, "shall suffer persecution." Where persecution means pressures, problems, difficulties, horrific dangers. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that on a global basis today. We see that taking place as perhaps at never any other time in the history of our nation. It's happening globally, but it's also happening in the world. Because the world hated the Lord Jesus Christ, the world hates you, and it hates me because we're believers. The scripture is clear, ladies and gentlemen, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, the scripture says, "It's marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." In fact, Jesus has already said in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verses 18 and following, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Verse 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me," speaking of the world, "they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also." Ladies and gentlemen, why is that so? What is the reason? Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 15, verse 21, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Verse 22 says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sins." Ladies and gentlemen, the condition of sin is the reality. Verse 23, Jesus said, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Jesus said, because I've come, I have revealed sin, and the sin is trying to be covered, and the covering of the sin is shown forth in the persecution and the hatred of Christians. That's taking place in the world today. Believers are being persecuted. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you some examples of that Christian persecution. And I'm talking about now global persecution. We're going to get to the point of what we're finding, and I want to talk about today as the primary focus of this broadcast, the Christian persecution in America. But may I just set the stage, set the plate of what is taking place on a global basis. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can call 831-0917, 831-0917, and let's talk about what's happening in your life and those that you know, the community in which you live, the area in which you work. Do you find persecution taking place? I'll never forget, just a few short years ago, a dear Christian worker had in her booth or in her stall, in her cubicle where she worked, she had just posted a note with the scripture quote of John 3:16, and her boss said she had to take it down because it might offend someone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Christian persecution. There are those today that will try to insert in their business card or in their letterhead or in something they say on Facebook or other social media, and will say something about Christ or Christians or a biblical verse, and they're chided and demeaned as a result of it. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, 4 Christians executed for wearing crosses. Well, you might say, well, that's not in America. That's true. But it's an indication of where we're going, ladies and gentlemen. This article says, 4 Christians singled out for wearing crosses were executed in their villages in Africa. Further, it says, in several attacks, including the latest, the armed terrorists challenged Christians to convert or to die. Unidentified armed men entered into the village June 27th, according to the Open Doors USA field workers, and told everyone to lie down. The attackers then proceeded to look for Christians by asking for their first names are looking for anyone wearing Christian insignia. Ladies and gentlemen, they were summarily executed, four of them, that had Christian insignia, a cross or something around their neck, or had names that indicated they were not from that part of the world, considered to be Christians, and therefore they were summarily executed simply because of being Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that Christians today on a global basis, the attack, the persecution, and the hatred for Christianity, for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is exponentially increasing. It is an increase. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're saying, well, why talk about it? Why not just leave it alone? Why not just let God handle it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, ultimately He is. Ultimately, we win in the end. Ultimately, we have victory over sin, death, and Satan. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a real world. And there's some today that are so pious and have such a heavenly mindset that they're no earthly good. And I say that very sincerely, because I believe that God gives us the rational reasoning, the volitional choice to stand and to not bow and not bend. Remember the book of Daniel? Study the book of Daniel. In fact, as you look at Daniel in the third chapter, where a statue was built and everybody was demanded to fall down and worship that statue. We find in the scripture that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do so. As a result of that, they were demeaned and chided and challenged. They did not bow, and as a result of that, they were chided and challenged. They did not bend. As a result of that, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And as you recall the story, they came out not even a smell of fire on their bodies. Because they refused to bow, they refused to bend, they also refused to burn. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's a good example of what God would have us to do today. Of course, understanding the Old Testament, what you'd call God-fearers, they took a stand for God. And as a result of that, they were cast into the fiery furnace. Ladies and gentlemen, we're nearing that day in America that we will see open, in-your-face persecution because of our stand for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Not only do we see the article that I just spoke of the four Christians executed for wearing crosses, here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says at least 100 Christians incinerated in well-targeted attack. At least 100 men, women, and children have been incinerated in a well-targeted attack on Christians by jihadists in central Mali, according to the reports. The exact number of victims who died, a mainly Christian village, isn't known, because many of the bodies were burned beyond recognition. A source said it was the worst massacre in Mali since 1946 and happened when the jihadists encircled a village that was home of the indigenous people. The Muslims then set fire to everyone that moved in this well-targeted attack. The death toll is estimated between 100 and 135. Ladies and gentlemen, that is because of being Christian. Now, I understand that you're not familiar with most of these things, and I recognize that. And it's because of our fake media that will not tell you. In fact, when they even bother to broadcast the fact that a village has been wiped out or that a village has been targeted, they will not tell you that it was because of the village being Christian or those that were murdered, slaughtered, and or incinerated or beheaded were as a result of being a Christian. They'll not state that. They'll not tell you that on the fake news media, the drive-by media. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being sold a bill of goods by the fake media. We're not being told the truth on most things that they tell us about, but it's because we're recognizing today the ultimate nearness of the rapture of the church. Let me remind you again, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, when the Christians will be suddenly seen snatched out of this old world. We'll be suddenly seen snatched out of this world where Satan seems to dominate the society in which we're living in. Satan realizes that his day is coming to a close. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, when the church is raptured out, there's 7 years of tribulation. The culmination of that tribulation is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, where according to Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 21, that Jesus Christ will slay the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, the enemies of Christ with the sword of his mouth. He will slay the Antichrist, the false prophet. They'll be thrown into hell. And then in chapter 20 and verse 10 of Revelation, Satan will ultimately be defeated and thrown into that place called hell. Satan realizes that the day is short. The time is coming to a close when he'll have free reign and the glow on the face of the earth that we are now living in, where it seems that right is wrong and wrong is right, and Satan has free reign. And he does, but it's because God has given him the freedom to do so, not because he has power other than the power and the authority given to him by God Almighty himself. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about persecution of the Christians, asking the question, should Christians hide in the closet? Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, stunning report finds Christians are the most harassed in the world. A new report from the Family Research Council, Apostasy, Blasphemy, and Anti-Conversion Laws, concludes that in the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, more than any other religious group on the face of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pretty large article delineating what's happening on a global basis and what is taking place with the persecution of Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Christians and their persecution and asking the question, should Christians hide in the closet? We'll talk about answering that question at the latter part of the broadcast today. We're going to give you, set the stage, tell you what's happening globally, tell you what's happening nationally, and then we're going to ask the question, how should we respond? How should we then live? What should Christians do? Should we be silent? Should we hide in the closet? Should we roll under the bed? Should we just simply, as some Christians are saying today, simply talk about Jesus and leave all the rest of this up to God? The answer to that question is unequivocally no. I can go to biblical passages and show you that's not the way first century Christians took a stand. That's not the way first century Christians responded. And may I remind us today, we have become so inundated with false theology and false gospel and the sloppy agape, that is the feeling that says love just cures everything and we need to be silent. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Andy Stanley mantra. That's the Rob Bell mantra. That's the mantra of the progressive Christian movement today that leaves everything out that has teeth in it called the Word of God and the authority that we have as Christians in the world in which we're living in today. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, deaf girl severely beaten by her Muslim family simply for embracing Jesus. Christians are urged to pray for her safety. The article reads, deaf Christian convert faces new punishment, even death, if she refuses to return to Islam, according to Open Doors USA. A young deaf girl from a Central Asian country was badly beaten by her Muslim family after they found out that she is now a follower of Jesus Christ. The girl named Sadie ended up in the intensive care unit of the hospital after suffering severe beatings from family members who tried to force her to renounce her faith in Christ. The Christian Persecution Watchdog urges Christians to pray for Sadie after getting information that the girl's relatives have threatened to beat her again and even kill her if she does not return to Islam as soon as she comes back home from the hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, this is taking place on a global basis. This is taking place not only around the globe, but in the United States of America today, where Christians are beaten, where Christians are demeaned, where Christians are incinerated, where Christians have their heads taken off, put in cages, and set on fire. And now we don't hear much about that in America because it is sequestered, it is kept from the general public as a result of an ultimate goal of allowing Islam and the dark, desperate dangers of Islam to absolutely control the globe. That's just part of it. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes much deeper than just the Islamic invasion on a global basis. Ladies and gentlemen, this Christian persecution, the Christian hate, is not just in India. It's not just in China. It's not just in North Korea. It is the. It's not just in the Islamic nations. It's now high profile and very visible in the United States of America. Christian free speech and Christian religious liberties are being foreclosed by the courts, by the media, and by our political, silence and our political agenda for America today. We're in deep trouble when it comes to Christian persecution in America. Some of our political representatives are not representing us at all. They're representing their agenda based on their political prowess and their desire for climbing the political ladder. Multitudes of Christians are being silenced by social media in the workplace and in the public arenas. A good example of the political agenda against the Christians and the churches It's what you call House Bill 5. We've talked about this several times on the broadcast. And at the risk of redundancy, let me remind you that House Bill 5 passed by Nancy Pelosi's Democratic House by a vote of 240. It's now Senate Bill 788 in the Senate, with 46 senators already signed on board. House Bill 5, Senate Bill 5, if it ever becomes law, ladies and gentlemen, if it is ever placed into law, it will destroy the church, it will destroy Christians, it will destroy religious liberties. Franklin Graham says it will nullify our Constitution and our religious liberties. Here's an elongated article. I'll read you several blurbs from it by Franklin Graham. The title of the article says, Franklin Graham warns of serious nightmare for the United States of America. Billy Graham Evangelistic Association CEO Franklin Graham says that if Congress adopts the Democrats' Equality Act, which would nullify constitutional protection for religious rights, the nation may never, ever recover. House Bill 5, which already has passed the House of Representatives, would cancel civil rights protection for women, eliminate the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and would codify the LGBTQ agenda in law. Further, he says, and if that office were to change hands in 2020, talking about the presidential, I have little doubt this would become the law of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, let me pause for a moment from this quote from this article. If the conservatives lose the presidential election, November 2020, we will have a socialist nation overnight. You will go from daylight to darkness as cutting a light off, because things like House Bill 5, the so-called Equality Act, will absolutely cancel all religious liberties, all freedom of speech, and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda will be on the agenda as priority and will be prima facie evidence of a hate crime law that if a Christian speaks up, says anything, they will be charged with a hate crime for speaking out against it. Ladies and gentlemen, this article continues to say the Equality Act, a clear and present danger. It says the law would force the closure of faith-based adoption agencies and women's shelters, and those who fail to use the transgender pronouns could be fined or put in prison. Then religious groups, including churches, would be under the thumb of the newly framed Civil Rights Act. The law would make no exceptions for the religious institutions and explicitly invalidate the Federal Religious Liberties Restoration Act. He goes further. Parents no longer would be allowed to choose medical treatment for their children, and the law would also strip parents of their right to raise their and educate their own children if their beliefs contradict the governmental mandate under the Equality Act. Hospitals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, it would open every bathroom, locker room, and shower room door. It would place the LGBTQ community in a position of dominance. It will silence Christians by federal law if this ever becomes law. This article, Franklin Graham's Law, article says the Equality Act attempts to make sure that in all cases, the LGBTQ rights trump any religious freedom. In every situation, it makes religious freedom a secondary freedom or right and not primary. It goes on, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about horrific danger if that is passed. What we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the loss of religious liberties and the freedom of speech for Christians, and it is a persecution of Christians. It is a hate against Christians, and we need not to be silent. And we're seeing that from the political agenda. We're seeing that from the social media. We're seeing that from every aspect. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break for the news. Hang on there. Don't turn that dial. Be right back in about 1 minute. Major,
this is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.